Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Welcome back to The Commentaries series and our study of the Way of Perfection by the great Carmelite mystic St. Teresa of Avila. I'm Father Reed, a secular Carmelite from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm delighted to be with you once again. Today, my friends, is day 12, and we are looking at chapters 24, 25, and 26 of this classic book on prayer by St. Teresa of Avila. And we have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. In chapter 24, St. Teresa wants to teach us more about vocal prayer so that it may be done perfectly and thereby yield the richest rewards. She says at the very beginning of the chapter that she's writing specifically for those who struggle to recollect themselves and do mental prayer. So Teresa is concerned that some people are terrified at the thought of doing mental prayer. So our saint wants to teach her readers how to pray vocally, especially the prayers that as Christians we are bound or obliged to pray, namely the Our Father and the Hail Mary. She says at the beginning of paragraph 2, clearly, we ought to attend to how we say our prayers. Then no one can say we speak without understanding our own words. Perhaps we think it is enough for us to pray as a matter of habit, and that it suffices if we simply pronounce the words. Whether it suffices or no is not for me to say. But my daughters, I do not wish us to content ourselves with this. So, St. Teresa isn't interested in whether or not merely saying the words of a prayer is sufficient. Her concern is that she doesn't want her nuns to be content with merely saying the words of their prayers. And thus, Teresa writes, "When I recite in the Credo, I believe, it seems to me that I ought to know and to understand what it is that I believe. If I say, Our Father, love requires that I should know who is our Father and who the Master is that teaches us this prayer." Now, in today's lingo, St. Teresa would say that we need to be intentional about our prayers, understanding what it is that we're saying, and even more importantly, to whom we are addressing our prayer. She's telling us that prayer is an act of love, a means of communicating with our Lord, not hollow words that we hope will reap us some kind of reward. St. Thérèse of Lisieux once said that prayer means a launching out of the heart towards God. She said, "Prayer is a vast, supernatural force that opens out my heart and binds me close to Jesus." And I think her definition is apropos here. The prayers we pray should enkindle within us a greater love and affection for God. They should bind us in closer union with God. Now, in paragraph 3, St. Teresa gets down to some basic principles about how to pray. Now, first, she tells us that prayer should be made in solitude, and this because Christ himself prayed in solitude. And the footnote there references Matthew 6:6, which says, "When you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret." Teresa's point here is that just as we cannot love both God and mammon at the same time, we cannot dialogue with God and the world at the same time. And so we must try to remove distractions so that our thoughts do not go unchecked. Now, of course, our saint understands that there will be times when it will be difficult to pray because we're preoccupied with being sick or temptations. And in those moments, we should pray as best we can, or leave off praying for the moment and occupy ourselves with some type of good works. Paragraph 4. Teresa continues her advice, stating that we can endeavor to be alone and realize in whose presence we are and how he answers our petitions. She writes on page 143, "Do you suppose he is silent, though we cannot hear him? He speaks to our hearts when our hearts speak to him." She continues, "This master is never so far off that his scholars need raise their voices to make him hear. He keeps very close to them. I want to show you that to say the Paternoster, the Our Father, well, you must not leave the side of the tutor who teaches it to you." So in other words, Teresa is teaching us to unite ourselves to our Lord when we pray to him, even when we pray vocally. For vocal prayer, done properly, involves mental prayer. As our saint points out on page 144, "I assure you that vocal prayers, properly recited, cannot be separated from mental prayer if we are to realize with whom we are speaking. We are bound to pray with attention. And may God grant that, with the aid of all these means, we may succeed in saying the Paternoster well without wandering thoughts." Now, having suffered herself from wandering thoughts and difficulties while meditating, Teresa ends this chapter by advising her readers to fix their minds on him to whom they are praying. She also tells us to be patient and to get used to praying attentively, because this is an indispensable practice for all Christians. So, to sum up, vocal prayer, properly practiced, includes mental prayer. That is, it requires attention to the words we are praying and to whom we are praying. It should be done in solitude to limit distraction, and we should persevere as best we can to develop this habit of praying attentively. Now, let's go on to chapter 25, which is the shortest chapter of the entire book. So now that Teresa has made the link between vocal prayer and mental prayer, she wants to make a further connection with contemplative prayer. She says right at the beginning of the chapter, "To prove to you that vocal prayer, made perfectly, brings with it no small profit, I may tell you that it is quite possible, while you are reciting the Paternoster or some other prayer, if you say it well, that God may raise you to perfect contemplation. His Majesty thus shows that he is listening to his handmaid and speaks to her in return." Now, when this happens, the Lord suspends the understanding and stops thoughts, such that speech becomes impossible, or at least requires a strong effort. And St. Teresa explains further, "The soul understands that the divine master is teaching it without the sound of words. He suspends the faculties, which by their action would hinder rather than favor contemplation." So, my friends, this is how contemplative prayer begins. It is God praying within us without our effort. Remember, we are the recipients of this prayer, not initiators. When it happens, our saint tells us that the soul is inflamed with love without comprehending how it loves. It feels that it enjoys the beloved, yet how it does so, it cannot tell. It realizes that this delight can never be gained through any desire of the mind itself. The will embraces its joy without apprehending how, yet it dimly perceives that every good work mankind could perform in this world would not merit such a reward. For it is the gift of the Lord of heaven and earth, who gives it in the manner befitting his Godhead. Wow. Now that's incredible. Teresa tells us on page 146, that this experience that she's just mentioned, this is perfect contemplation, and that it differs from mental prayer. Mental prayer requires our own efforts, whereas in perfect contemplation, God does all the work. Our saint explains in paragraph 3 that she spoke at length about contemplation in the book of her life, so she's not going into great detail about it here. What's important for us to take from this chapter is the fact that Saint Teresa of Avila believes that vocal prayer, done correctly and joined to mental prayer, as explained in chapter 24, can lead one to contemplation. This was something that she herself experienced. So, our saint doesn't relegate vocal prayer to being the prayer of mere beginners who have yet to advance very far on the way of perfection. To Teresa, vocal prayer is a legitimate way to advance in the way of perfection. What's important about prayer for Teresa, whether it be vocal prayer, silent mental prayer, or contemplative prayer, is that it be a means of communion with God. That's the essential component of prayer. It's just that in mental prayer and vocal prayer, we are making the effort with God's help. In contemplative prayer, God is doing the work. In chapter 26, Saint Teresa of Avila provides instruction on how to recollect ourselves for mental prayer. Now, she's eager here to give real instruction to her nuns so that they may better practice mental prayer and not fear it at all. Now, to begin, Teresa encourages her readers first to make an examination of conscience, to pray a confiteor, and to make the sign of cross when setting out to pray mentally. There, then in solitude, we are to seek for a companion. That companion is our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. And Teresa says we should imagine him close beside us and to see how lovingly and how humbly he teaches us. She writes on page 148, "If you accustom yourselves to keep him near you, and he sees that you love to have him and make every effort to please him, you will not be able to send him away. He will never fail you, but will help you in all your troubles, and you will find him everywhere." Now, Teresa knows of what she speaks here, for she tells us in paragraph 2 that for many years, she struggled with being unable to fix her attention on any subject. And thus, she's confident that if we humbly ask our Lord for his company, he will not refuse us. Now, very interestingly, in paragraph 3, our saint tells her readers that she's not asking them to meditate on Christ or to produce great thoughts or even to feel deep devotion. She says, "I only ask you to look at him." In other words, Teresa is telling us to be present to Jesus. She's not necessarily telling us that we have to come up with elaborate images in our minds. What's important to her is simply to be present to Jesus, as he is always present to us. Teresa wants us to build a relationship with our Lord more than learn some type of prayer technique. And she goes on to explain that no matter our unworthiness or degree of sinfulness, our Lord never turns away from us. She says he is only waiting for us to look on him. In fact, Teresa says that Jesus will suit himself to whatever mood we are in that he will neglect no means to get us to look upon him. Wow. You know, what I love about St. Teresa's language here is that she gives us so much confidence in our Lord. Now remember, she's one of his intimate friends. Like the other saints, Teresa knows our Lord so much better than we do. And so we have much to learn about Jesus from her. We can trust what she tells us about Jesus. And Teresa teaches us in paragraph 4 that despite his omnipotence, Our Lord accommodates himself to our needs. This is how humble our Lord is. She even gives us some advice as to how we can unite ourselves to his Paschal mystery, encouraging us to think of his resurrection if we are happy. Or if we're sad and going through a trial, we can see him going to the Garden of Gethsemane or being bound to the columns to be scourged or carrying his cross. And she makes the point that Jesus will forget his own grief to comfort us. That's how good he is. That's how patient and loving Jesus is. Now, at this point in the chapter, our winsome saint launches into another one of her colloquies, and she says, halfway down page 151, "If it be thy will to suffer thus for me, what do I suffer for thee in return?" Now, this is a wonderful point for us to consider in our own prayer. Think about all Christ suffered for us. Imagine his bitter passion. And then ask yourself, what are you willing to suffer for Christ? When we think in these terms, it becomes so much easier to put our own crosses into perspective and to bear them bravely. Indeed, Teresa is very clear that we should be willing to imitate Christ and to bear our crosses alongside Christ, sharing in his sufferings. She says, "Shut your ears to all murmurings, stumble and fall with your spouse, but do not draw back from the cross nor abandon it." Teresa is teaching us here that we can help lessen Christ's sufferings by this willingness to be united to his sufferings. And it helps us to understand how our sufferings are really but trifles compared to his. As we get into paragraph 7, St. Teresa gives us a little bit of a reality check. Now, she says that we may be tempted to believe that if we had lived while Christ was on earth, we would have willingly looked upon him in his sufferings. But Teresa says we shouldn't believe this about ourselves. She says on page 152, "If you will not use a little self-constraint now, in order to recollect yourselves and to picture our Lord in your mind, which may be done without danger and solely by a slight effort, much less would you have stood at the foot of the cross with the Magdalene." Teresa continues a little later on, "Therefore, sisters, do not imagine that you would have endured these heavy trials, seeing that you cannot bear the light ones you meet with now. Practice patience with these, and you may receive greater crosses later on." Oof, this is a little humbling. And it is certainly a point worth reflecting upon ourselves, precisely to help us grow in the ever-important virtue of humility. To help us develop our relationship with Christ, Teresa recommends wearing a medal or an image of Christ. And she says in paragraph A, "Do not merely hang it around your neck, never to look at it, but often speak to it. He will teach you what to say." So, our saint wants us to get used to speaking with our Lord, because a lack of communication will lead to estrangement and a loss of friendship with him. And in paragraph 9, Teresa advises that reading a good book of devotion can be helpful in collecting our thoughts and learning how to pray vocally. But more importantly, Saint Teresa wants us to get accustomed to being with our Lord and staying with him. And she tells us once again on page 153, "If you carefully practice what I have taught you, that is, if you consider in whose company you are, and if you speak to your Savior, your reward will be too great for me to describe, even if I wished." She says on page 154, "Keep close beside this kind master and firmly resolve to learn all that he teaches you." Teresa also says that if we meditate on the words our Lord uttered, we will realize immediately just how much he loves us. Now, lastly, I would draw your attention to footnote 11 at the bottom of page 154. This footnote gives us a small glimpse into the love St. Teresa of Avila bore for our Lord. And yet it also gives light to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, wherein St. Paul counsels us to pray without ceasing. Now, this is a verse of scripture that may seem well-nigh impossible, and yet our saint proves that it's not. If we love our Lord ardently enough, we shall always keep him in our presence and be attentive to him. So, my friends, that brings us to the end of day 12 in our study of the way of perfection. I very much hope you're enjoying it. And I also hope that these podcasts are helping you grow closer to our Lord. Thank you for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. And next time, we'll look at chapters 27 and 28. Now, to finish, let's pray the famous prayer of St. Teresa. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices. May God bless you. May St. Teresa intercede for you.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Way of Perfection, and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.